This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 235 for Wednesday, May 24th, 2017. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. Back again for the second time this month, Mr. Lou Page. Welcome, sir.
Howdy, howdy.
How are things over at Zombies Ate My Podcast?
Very good. Tonight we're going to actually discuss a Korean zombie movie. It's a huge movie actually in South Korea. It's on par with like something you'd see with Hollywood, where like there's tons of people running around in zombie makeup. Like it feels like a big Hollywood budget movie, but it's not. And we've been telling people we're going to talk about it for the last couple weeks, but due to scheduling, the three of us could not sit down to talk about it. It's been a lot of two-man shows, So we've pushed it off until this week, and I'm excited to talk about it. It's going to be awesome.
Cool.
It's called Train to Busan.
Okay. Well, it's better than like what happens when you try to translate like manga and anime titles into English.
Yeah,
which was like, you know, giant Saturn robot. Like that's not a cool movie title.
the basic idea is this guy in South Korea, he's like an office manager somewhere, and he's in a custody battle with his wife, and he has to take the kid on a train ride to like the other side of South Korea to drop her off with her mother. And on their way to the train station, they see some weird things going on in the streets, and a zombie outbreak has begun. And they get on board the train and realize that somebody on the train was infected. And when this train gets to its next station, they're told they cannot stop because the station is gone. And in the meantime, the outbreak happens on the train, and they end up having to like keep locking car doors, trying disjoint train cars. At one point, they have to switch trains because the track they're on is broken.
Oh, wow.
It's really kind of neat. And it's this guy and a couple of other people like just trying to stay alive. It's really interesting.
Cool. Is it? I mean, I'm assuming it's subtitled?
Yes.
Now, do you have a problem with that? Because I have an issue. One, I'm not a fast reader, but I can usually keep up with subtitles. The issue that I have is that I'll go to see a film. I always use Pan's Labyrinth as an example. Wonderful movie, but I saw it subtitled. And I didn't want to read the subtitles. I wanted to look at the pretty fantasy movie.
Yes.
You know?
I have a similar issue. If I have a choice of watching something with subtitles or dubbed, I'm spoiled. I like the dub because I'd much rather look at what's going on.
Yeah.
I don't care if the dialogue is a little off. Or if their lips don't match the words, I understand. It's a foreign language movie. It doesn't bother me
at all. Yeah, you go in with certain expectations. Yeah.
Yeah. But if I have a choice, it's dubbed. But if I don't, I can deal with subtitles. It's fine.
What I find really funny about subtitles, especially with films that are like Chinese with Mandarin and stuff, is that usually what ends up happening is that there'll be a subtitle and it'll pop up, and then the guy on the screen or the girl on the screen is still talking.
Yeah.
And still talking. And you're like, wait a minute. That's all they said?
I watched this on Netflix, and my only gripe was, is that the subtitle wouldn't kick in until the guy was like 3 seconds into what he was saying.
Oh yeah.
And so he'd start talking, and then all of a sudden the subtitle would be like delayed reaction and show up. And I'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I watched almost the whole movie on my phone while I was at the gym.
Nice. Sometimes that can be done well. I can't tell you what it was. I want to say it was some sort of like, It was a Eastern film. It was a samurai movie. I don't think I finished it, but it wasn't because it was bad. It was just because I never got back to it, and probably lost it. Like, I don't know where it is on Netflix. But they timed those delays in ways where it made sense.
Yeah.
Like, if someone was talking and saying a lot, they would run those subtitles, but the subtitles would continue into the next scene where you're then looking at like an establishing shot or a sweeping meadow. And a lot of those samurai movies, it's a lot of, you know, horses riding into the distance, doing a whole lot of nothing. I mean, it's pretty, but you can certainly read like the last couple sentences while you're doing that.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool, because then that next shot is long enough that you can do both. You can enjoy the shot and you can read the subtitle. But I don't remember the name of the movie. It had a very gray poster, and all the samurais, it was like, I think it was like a Mongolian type movie. I think it might have been about Attila the Hun, maybe. Anyway, they all had big, broad swords. It wasn't like samurai, like ninja stuff. It was more like the big, broad kind of Mongol stuff that you see in, not Mark Twain. What's the name of that one with the Mongols? The Netflix original. Marco Polo?
Marco Polo.
Yeah. Is that coming back? Because I like that show.
It's that not... was canceled.
Ah, boo. That's no good.
They apparently said they felt like they wrapped up most of the plot points and plot lines with the second season, and it didn't get the watching. It's the most expensive show Netflix has ever produced, and it didn't bring in the numbers they were hoping for, so they kind of walked away from it.
I can see that. I can see that being a very expensive show and then very difficult to market.
Yeah.
Like, you just, especially because Game of Thrones is already out there.
They said that the first season did super well. Yeah. But that second season, it was like people forgot that it was there.
I think, well, that's the problem I think that Netflix suffers from. Is like, if, I mean, not it's that they too have, much. Yeah, not that they have many problems, but I would say that's one of them, is that they are now making so much original content. Like, I'm to the point now with Netflix original content where, one, I don't have the time to check it all out, and two, it's so broad that
there's tons of stuff I just go, not for me.
Well, yeah, and that's fine. Like, I mean, I'm trying to think about what's a good example. Some documentary about something, I was like, well, that's cool that they did it, but not something I'm interested in. The problem is that I can go buy something. We'll use Marco Polo as an example, but if you don't know what that is, or if you haven't heard any hype, if you haven't heard someone say it's really good, go seek it out, all you get is a movie poster. And not that I want ads, but there's no pre-roll. You know, like, you're not watching season 4 of House of Cards and see a trailer for Marco Polo before the whole thing starts, right?
Okay. They're doing a neat thing, because I watch on a Roku player. I don't know if they're doing it on Apple TV or any place else.
Well, but, and smart TVs, because, I mean, Netflix is built into so many TVs now.
But Roku's doing something specifically. If you're browsing and you stop for more than 5 seconds, they give you a trailer on whatever it is you've highlighted. Like, it's not just see, like, here's a photo of, like, 20 minutes into the movie. They literally have trailers now for almost everything. So the other night we were browsing and we stopped on something, and it was something we had never heard of, and I was trying to read the description and I didn't even need to. It just started playing a trailer for me, and I went, oh, that's cool, I'll add that to the list, and just added it.
Yeah,
but like I know that on the web browser they don't really do that, but for browsing on the TV, it was like getting commercials while I was trying to decide what I wanted to watch. So.
And I think, too, that, I mean, depending on what set-top box you're on, the service, Netflix, YouTube, Hulu, whatever, may or may not be updating their app for that particular box if it's an older box.
Yeah.
Or running an older, like, if it's an Android box and it's running an older version of the Android box, OS, then it might have some functionality, but not all the functionality, you know? I mean, for the example, the difference between, you know, an older Apple TV and a newer Apple TV. I mean, it's preference or no, Siri is on one and not on the other. So if you're looking for that kind of voice connectivity, or if Netflix or Hulu or one of those services are tied into that voice, you can't use it on an older device. Because that feature isn't part of your hardware. And that's, I find that in a way, I'm glad that I don't have autoplay video on Netflix. Because I get annoyed with autoplay next video on YouTube, which I think I can probably turn off if I really went to find out where. But
yeah,
You know, now sometimes I like it, for example, when I'm watching Minecraft videos and I'm watching a series, I want the next video to play because I'm usually watching two in a row.
Right.
I like the play the next, same with Netflix, you know, you're watching a season of something and it'll play the next episode if you're sitting there and doing nothing for the 10 seconds at the end of the credits, right? So yeah. I like that kind of thing, but I get very annoyed with autoplay ads on websites and things like that. And I don't know that I'd want it to autoplay a trailer. I think maybe if I had a trailer button, add to your list, play more. But I mean, if right next to play, there was a trailer, very similar to in a digital movie store where you can rent, buy, or watch the trailer. If Netflix had that, it would be way easier to parse their content. And let's be, you know, honest, people don't necessarily read the descriptions. Not to mention the descriptions can be spoilery.
Yeah. There's a few that I was like, oh, okay. Like when we were watching Voltron, there were Voltron descriptions that literally told you the entire episode.
Well, yeah.
I
want a tagline. I don't want a synopsis.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the synopsis are what you go to Wikipedia for when you can't remember which episode you've watched. So you start reading the synopsis until you're like, yes, okay, that's the last one that I watched.
Yeah.
Because it gives you just the beats, you know, the points. Yeah. So, I mean, speaking of all this Netflix stuff, like, what are you watching on Netflix right now?
Recently, we just finished watching Ultimate Beastmaster.
Okay.
It sounds weird.
Like Crocodile Hunter type stuff?
No. Okay. So the idea is, do you know what Ninja Warrior is?
Yes.
Where they have a bunch of random contestants do these crazy obstacle challenges to be the ultimate Ninja Warrior.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically Sylvester Stallone created his own show.
Okay.
And rather than it just being a bunch of random contestants, there are six countries involved, five or six countries involved. Brazil, South Korea, Germany, America, Japan, and there's another one. I can't think of – oh, I think it's – no. It might be Mexico.
Right, okay.
And – the idea is that every episode, there's 10 episodes to the season, and there's 9 slots. And every episode, they get 2 Americans, 2 Brazilians, 2 of each country, and they run the obstacle course.
Okay.
And there's 4 rounds, and everything is based on scoring points. If you get to certain challenges, you score enough points to go on to the next round. If you don't score enough points, you get bumped off.
Right.
And there's like each round, it's like this, like 10 of them begin. The next round is 7, 5. And then by the fourth challenge, it's just 2 people. And the obstacle course is huge and it's all one giant piece. So they start at it's shaped like a giant dragon. So they start at like the dragon's mouth and work their way towards the back. And then at the back, they have a giant tower they have to climb.
Okay.
And at the end of this, one person wins, and then they move on to the final episode is all of the reoccurring champions return. They take all of the challenges they've already done, make them harder, like the spinning wheel things they have to jump across are moving at twice the speed they were before.
Okay.
And so like they make it harder and then the challengers return and whoever wins them is the ultimate Beastmaster.
So it's an odd title. I'll give it
yes,
that.
Yes, it is. It's terrible. It's the worst named show on Netflix.
Yeah. But it sounds cool. And I think I saw a clip from, I think maybe Ninja Warrior, where Stephen Amell from Arrow.
Yeah.
They did a bunch of celebrities, and I think he was, because he was stopping to wave at fans and stuff. So it was obviously, it was obviously a
publicity stunt.
Publicity show. Well, I mean, at the same time, he owned it.
Yeah. Well, the girl who does, is the stunt double for Supergirl. Melissa, for Supergirl.
Yeah.
She went like halfway through it last year.
Yeah, and she wasn't she the I can't remember, she wasn't the first woman to do it, but there was a there was a big deal. Maybe she was the first woman to get to the finals or get that far. I can't remember what it was, but I remember watching the video of a particular course, and there was significance to her being a stunt woman as opposed to a stunt man taking on this particular challenges, probably because of the strength involved and the, the reach probably. I really don't know what the details were. I mean, but she, I mean this, and I feel bad, I don't remember her name, but the stunt woman for Melissa Benoist, she kicked butt. It was amazing to see. It was really, really cool. Like, and I don't even mean like, you know, oh my gosh, is she going to do it? It's like, nope, she's going to own it.
Yeah. And the greatest thing about this show is not just because you're not just getting American announcers, they cut between all of the announcers. Like Terry Crews and some woman from ESPN are the U.S. announcers. And then they're all in like booths next to each other. And then America will get knocked out and there won't be any more Americans. And then Terry Crews will come over and talk to the Korean guy and be like, you suck. And they like tease each other and make jokes. And it's really funny, just their banter amongst each other. It's also really weird when you watch the Germans, because there's a big, huge black guy for the Germans. It's an announcer, and his name is Hans. And every time he shows up, my roommate and I would be like, it's Hans. But he doesn't look like a Hans.
Nice. It's, gosh, I just had it on the tip of my tongue. Jesse Graff.
Yeah.
Is the name of the name of the woman that does the stunts for Melissa Benoist on Supergirl. And am I pronouncing Melissa's last name correctly?
Yes.
Okay. Because, like, so in Canada, the Canadian in me wants to say Benoit or Benoit, you know, Benoit without the S. Yeah. But anyway. And it was the Los Angeles qualifiers.
Yeah.
Of American Ninja Run Warrior 2016. So it was like 11 months ago. And she was
I knew it was 2016.
And she was in a Wonder Woman outfit. That's why, one of the reasons why it got a lot of really cool publicity, but also that she owned the course and made the qualifications.
Yeah.
Okay. She didn't win Ninja Warrior, but this was the big, she qualified for it.
Right.
So, and you say that she didn't make it through the season?
I don't think so.
Right.
I think she did okay, but I don't think she didn't go on to win or anything.
Well, sometimes it's just like, I mean, you can be very, very talented, but like one wrong piece of foot on like a spinning, you know, whatever it is, you know, a drum over water or a foam pit. It's like, well, just because you slipped one tiny bit, I mean, that could be just, you know, water on your shoe, you know?
Well, the one thing about this show is they kind of give you a little intro to all 10 challengers each episode. Mm-hmm. And it's not as heavy-handed as Ninja Warrior is.
Right.
Because Ninja Warrior, sometimes they spend a 20-minute segment on a guy and you're like, I really don't care about him. Let's just see him run.
Yeah.
And this would be like, this just kind of gives you a rundown of who they are. And one of the guys was, one of the last episodes, the guy was an American soldier. He was a Marine, I think, or something like that. And after he came home, he was in an automobile accident and they told him he would never walk again.
No way.
And he said, nope, I'm determined to walk again. And not only did he walk again, but he was like, that's why I'm here, because I'm going to do this. And he ended up winning that episode.
Nice.
And you're like, what the hell? And the whole time he's running, everybody's like, he's going to fall and hurt himself. He's going to fall and hurt himself. He's going to fall and hurt himself. And nope, he wins. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. It's incredible what people can do. I mean, I don't want to sound at all like I'm belittling the challenges and stuff like that by, you know, saying that some of them, you know, are just easily something that can trip you up. I couldn't do any of them.
No.
You know, I think that there are some serious strength challenges. Like there was one, it's like a rocking chin-up thing where you've got to grab onto what is essentially a T-bar, like an iron T-bar. So you've only got like 4 inches of grip on either side from your fingertips. And then you've got to swing yourself, jump to the next one, grab, and hold on. And let me tell you, like, I do chin-ups, but I can do like 4 or 6. That's it. You know, like, I'm 240 pounds. Like, there's no way I could leap from something to the other and then hold myself with my fingertips. Are you kidding? Like, there has to be that balance of being, you know, in shape. You have to have not just like, you know, it's not Hollywood bodies. Like, this is like, you have to have like grip, vice grip strength.
Right.
To do all this kind of stuff. The amount of training that people must do, the variety of training that you have to do must be just crazy.
It's also a telling thing. For Ultimate Beastmaster, they brought two or three of the champions from Ninja Warrior on the show as contestants.
Oh, cool.
And none of them made it.
Nice.
So you can tell how hard it is because like they all get to like this certain point and you go, oh, and it's like, nope, he didn't make it. And you're like, wow, this must be really hard.
Mm. Yeah, no, I think the Hollywood makes all the stunts look easy because of the cinema mm-hmm. magic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's some real, I mean, those are obviously real risks, but there's some real strength and technique and stuff that's involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very cool. Very, very cool. I noticed that you've also been watching Flash. Now, I am not caught up. I don't think I've watched since Christmas.
Okay. Did you see the gorilla episode?
When they go to the second Earth 2 and they go to Grodd's big arena?
Yes.
And he's going to fight him?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you see the aftermath of that?
Mm,
where Grodd comes back to their Earth?
No, I saw him vow to do so, but I did not. I think that might have been the last episode that I watched. Not that I didn't like it. I just never got back into it.
I'll tell you, a week after that episode, we let them build up for like a week, like 2 or 3 weeks, and then we watched them. We've been watching them in bunches because the week-to-week thing with Flash is kind of getting annoying.
Yeah.
Because every episode is ending on a cliffhanger.
Oh, yeah.
And not just like a little cliffhanger. It ends on like, oh, you just showed me what I wanted to know, and now you're not going to tell me anything.
Yeah. Okay.
And they got that bad.
Yeah. I know I'm going to enjoy it. Like I out of all the shows that I was watching in the superhero DC kind of genre, I think Flash was at the top of my list. It's just that it was just the effort of finding a way to watch it and then finding the time to watch it. Which again, like I realize I'm watching YouTube videos, but it's the combination of like
Watching Flash, you have to commit an hour.
Yeah, well, and you don't want to take a break in the middle. Like, I can stop after one 15-minute video and go back to work. Like, it's fine.
Right.
The other thing is that I think, like you, I will enjoy it more when I've got the rest of the season available to me, and I can sit home on a Saturday morning when I've got nothing to do, if I don't have any other commitments, make some pancakes, and just watch, like, superhero stuff.
That's actually how we watched Legends of Tomorrow. Okay. This season is we watched like the first 4 or 5 episodes and we were like, this is okay. We want to continue watching it. But like, we were just getting tired of like the week to week. That show feels way better if you watch episode after episode after episode, and you just don't have to keep like being like, if you have to watch that show every week, I find it just gets kind of tedious.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watch it episode after episode, everything feels a little bit more believable because you're like, oh yeah, The episode, they go from this time period to this time period to this time period, and it just feels like a bunny hop every episode.
And I think the reason for that is because if there's enough suspension of disbelief required of the viewer, then the longer
you think
that
too much about.
Yeah, you think too much about it when you're not watching the show.
Yeah.
You know? Plus, you have the water cooler talk with a bunch of people who don't like it. And I mean, by water cooler talk, I mean the internet, you know, a bunch of people, a bunch of haters. And you're just like, well, and they're making sense. Like, they might not like it, but then they also have a very valid reason as to why it's dumb. And you're just like, well, damn, I wish I hadn't thought about that.
And I won't say that this season was amazing. I liked a lot of the new cast that they added this season.
It's not geared up to be an amazing show, period.
No, but I like certain characters. Those certain characters continue to do the things I like to see them do.
Right.
And the villains were a little heavy fisted, but it was okay because I liked all the actors playing the villains.
Yes, there's a balance that can be struck.
Yeah, but when that show went straight to Netflix 2 weeks after the season finale, or at least here in the U.S.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. I don't think that's a thing here. No. So, well, wait a minute. So, this is all CW now, isn't it?
Yes.
So that might be a thing.
So we literally forgot all about it, and then all of a sudden my Netflix queue popped up and said, hey, you like Legends of Tomorrow, the whole season's up. And we both went, Oh, and we just watched the whole season one weekend.
Nice.
And it was like an afternoon and we were done. And I was like, this was the way we should, this show should be watched.
Yeah.
So that's going to happen with Flash too. I think Flash is coming to Netflix in like 3 weeks.
Oh, Outlander's on Netflix in Canada now. It was not before.
What's on?
Outlander.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That show's okay.
I enjoyed the first season.
Erica loves that show. I can take it or leave it. If she's watching it, I'll watch it and be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can follow along, but it's not, it doesn't amaze me.
Yeah, I'm not
saying... I like all the actors in it. I like everybody that's in it. And the plot's okay. It's just, it's not written for me.
Yeah, I'm not seeing any of the DC shows. But see, this is the thing. Like, I'm logging into the Netflix website here, and I've not logged into Netflix on my set-top box in, I don't remember how long, probably 2 months. So I don't know. It's going to be awesome when I go back, because instead of looking at the same old crap that I'm sick of watching.
Oh, dude, there's a lot on there now.
Yeah. Well, you say a lot. I mean, there's Canada, so there's less than a lot. But
you guys get a lot of stuff we don't.
Yeah, but it's nothing I like. It's never really that good. If I cared about Doctor Who, don't kill me now, Internet, then I'd be okay. But and even then, I don't think that's on there anymore. But for me, it's just that there's... In terms of what I'm usually in the mood for to escape, you know, into a superhero movie or sci-fi or something like that, the pickings are pretty slim. But now that I've been away for a couple months, there's probably a host of new content. I should actually check to see what movies from last year, like what movies from the summer are on Netflix now.
I just got a notification this evening that the, what's it called? Did you like... The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
I have not watched it, but it comes highly recommended from Brockett.
It's really good, but you gotta sit through about the first three episodes because it's kind of setting you up.
So this is the thing that I know I've said before on the show is that I will give Netflix a solid 3 or 4 episodes.
Yeah.
Of anything. Like if it's something that I'm interested in and I watch it and the first episode doesn't grab me, I will still watch for another 3 or 4 because they have continued to prove that they can.
Yeah, the issue
earn
is
my viewing.
I think it was the first 5 episodes or something like that. NBC originally owned the rights to that show, and then NBC didn't even air it. They said, you know, this isn't for us. We don't like it. And Netflix said, no, we'll buy those 5 episodes and we'll make 10 more.
Nice.
And so that's why the first 3 or 4 episodes are a little rough because they were originally done for
broadcast. Yeah.
And then right around episode 5, all of a sudden somebody swears and it literally, you go, oh, okay. Nice. Or somebody talks about stabbing somebody to death or something like that. There's like a joke about getting stabbed to death and you go, oh, this is not network TV anymore. Okay.
Yeah. This is about to get really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole host of things that I've missed that I've just not had time to...
It's literally worth watching, if nothing else, for like, there's a... Jon Hamm has a cameo in the first season.
Right.
And his cameo is absolutely amazing. Because he's not Jon Hamm.
No.
He is totally he's a villain.
Okay.
And he's a dorky, goofy villain. And you're like... This is weird.
Yeah, because you're used to the Don Draper, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen him in anything else. I know that he was in a movie, and I believe he played a reporter. It was about World War II, I think, or World War I. Anyway, I really wanted to see that film.
Want to watch something interesting with him, my wife loves, there is a BBC miniseries called, like, The Young Doctor or The Doctor, and it's him and the kid that played Harry Potter.
Okay.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah.
And it's about him. Daniel Radcliffe is like a doctor that gets sent to like the Russian border during like World War I or World War II.
Okay.
And he ends up having to like perform field medicine without any thing. And the other doctor is Jon Hamm. And Jon Hamm is like he's like Jon Hamm's protege or something.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife loved it.
Cool.
But
well, BBC, I might have access to it.
Yeah.
Cool. I will look at that. Well, I mean, all of my taste for superheroes and all of these, you know, movies that we're getting this summer and movies that, you know, I'm hoping to find on Netflix. Some things I want to watch to review. I didn't get a chance. I wanted to go back and watch the original Guardians to prep for Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
It holds up.
Yeah, no, it absolutely does. And I've watched it maybe not within the last year, but certainly maybe last winter, like winter 2015, 16, I think I might have watched it. Because I own it on, I own it on Blu-ray, which looks amazing. But I just, I haven't done a lot of home movie stuff because even though Netflix will stream in HD, the television I have currently is only 720.
Yeah.
Or no, wait a minute. It might be 1080, but it's only like 32 inches. So it's not a home theater experience, that I want. So I know I've told people before on the show that I've been staving off like Star Wars, Lord of the Rings. I haven't seen those in years because I haven't had a good TV. to enjoy them on. I did watch, and funny, I have a new computer with a very large screen. So now watching YouTube trailers is absolutely 1080p, 60 frames a second, as loud as I can make it go, which is a much, much different experience than I'm used to on my phone. I watched Spider-Man Homecoming, the trailer 3 launched today, I believe, or a couple days ago, maybe yesterday because it was Tuesday. But I'm excited for Homecoming anyway. That was a must-see. But this last trailer really, really got me jazzed. It feels very Spider-Man.
It feels extremely Spider-Man. And the other thing, too, is the other trailers were just kind of showed you a bunch of action sequences without anything really holding it together except for here's a one-liner, here's a one-liner, here's Tony Stark being funny, here's Tony Stark being a jerk. And you're like, okay, but I don't understand what the hell this is about. Mm-hmm. And after this trailer, you go, oh, I understand what the plot of this movie is. Okay, I'm sold.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not a spoiler or it's not rocket science. I mean, there's obviously some high-tech weapons that are getting into the hands of some bad guys.
Right.
The bad guys are like petty criminals, so they don't know what they're doing. So they're causing all kinds of damage. And Spider-Man discovers this and then is trying to sort out the plot probably behind all the tech and all the bad weapons. So, I mean, I'm betting, now I could be wrong, but I'm betting that they're going to lead him to a confrontation with the Vulture, which is the big villain for the movie. Who, by the way, I wasn't so hot on before. It felt very similar to Green Goblin and Hobgoblin stuff in the past.
Yep.
But that was, I would say, the fault of just the editing on the first two trailers, because in this third one, he looks vastly different.
Yes.
And larger. Like, he's a big bad guy.
I almost feel like those first two trailers were rushed.
Maybe.
They just needed to sell you on the movie itself. They really just were like, the special effects aren't even done here. We'll just throw it out there.
Right. Yeah, and it does look a lot more complex.
Right. When they show that scene where it's like he lands the Vulture costume and gets out of it.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy crap, he's a plane. He's not a person.
Yeah, no, the wingspan is, I mean, God, it's got to be 15 meters. Like, it's huge.
Yeah.
Absolutely huge. And I like the way that, and I don't, this could be from the comic, like the Vulture that I remember from the cartoons had like a feather boa around his neck and looked ridiculous.
He was like a mutant.
Yeah.
If I remember right.
It looked really weird. But in this, he's the ruffle around his neck comes from kind of like an ornate bomber jacket. Like it's a flight jacket, right?
Right.
It's a neat way to kind of balance things out. He looks aggressive. Like, he reminds me, he's about as threatening as Doc Ock, you know, in terms of that kind of level. I was in a thread with Justin Thompson and Tom Racine, a couple of other former podcast buddies of mine, and they're very into comics and stuff, talking on Facebook. And Justin was saying, like, he doesn't like all the tech in the movie. He doesn't like that it's Stark's spider suit and then he's got web shooters and he's got all these different gits and gadgets and spider parachutes and stuff like that. And because it's not really his Spider-Man, like, he wants Peter Parker to be the one that's creating the web shooters, which is what the Amazing Spider-Man was. He didn't have webs in his wrists, like mutation. He had to build the tensile strength stuff himself, which I enjoyed that kind of stuff from, I can't remember the name of the actor that played him in those movies. It's the latest Sony stuff with the Amazing Spider-Man.
Andrew Garfield.
Yes, Garfield. Yeah, I liked him. I liked him a lot as Spider-Man. Didn't like his Peter Parker so much, but I liked him a lot as Spider-Man. And with this new movie, they've absolutely nailed the attitude. So the discussion on Facebook was kind of two-sided. It was like, well, I'm not a big fan of the tech, but part of the plot, it looks like part of the plot is that Peter gets too big for his britches. Does stuff he's not supposed to, tries to save the world as opposed to save the block, and Tony takes the suit back, which that line has been in, I think, every trailer.
Trailer but this one.
Oh, no. Oh, that's right.
It's not in this one.
Tony doesn't say you can't have the suit, but there is the line where I'm nothing without that suit. He says that.
Yeah.
Because I watched this like twice more before the show. It's a really good trailer. You guys should go check it out. But yeah, I really enjoy the Peter Parker in this. I enjoy the kind of the talking himself through things.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fun way to have like what would be an inner monologue, I guess.
Right. He's doing the Deadpool thing without being Deadpool.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What's his name again? Tom something? Actually, play Spider-Man.
I should know this. He just got cast in a video game movie,
and he does not look the part at all to play Nathan Drake. By the way, as much as I like this kid,
no. If you look at this Tom footage Holland. Of Tom Holland,
yeah.
If you look at footage of the third Nathan Drake game, there's flashbacks of him as a teenager when he meets his partner Sully,
mm-hmm.
and that's where that movie's supposed to take place. Oh. Is it supposed to be a prelude? And so they needed somebody to look like a teenager, so that's why they cast him.
Right. Okay.
They're hoping he will grow into the role, and that it will be several movies, so that they can make him like get older with the movies and still make movies without having to recast. Hey,
as far as Hollywood goes, if those movies are good, and they have enough, like if that prequel has enough success behind it, like I know, I mean, we all know that Nathan Drake is a huge video game character and has a huge following.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, Tom Holland could be walking into the Indiana Jones role of his life.
Exactly. You exactly.
Know? Not that Spider-Man isn't a huge role.
No, he just did an Indiana Jones like movie too with somebody else.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. It's some movie. It's got the guy from Sons of Anarchy in it. And they like go to Africa on an adventure in like the late 1800s or something.
Interesting.
It was like in theaters and gone before I even knew what it was.
My God, he was born in 96.
I know.
Shut up.
I was in high school.
I graduated from high school in 97, Tom. God damn it. Pilgrimage, maybe?
I think that might be what it is.
No, that's coming later. In the Heart of the Sea?
Yes.
That's it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
There's a couple, though, because Uncharted is the other ones.
That's the new one.
So those are all Captain America Civil War, Heart of the Sea he did before that, Wolf Hall, Tweet, Lost City of Z.
Lost City of Z.
Okay. So that just came out in 2016. Cool. Yeah, Pilgrimage I don't think is out yet. It's funny that... Oh, Spider-Man Homecoming. They're still listing it as post-production on IMDb. Isn't that coming out in like a couple of weeks? No, July.
July 7th.
July 7th, that's right.
Only a month away.
Yeah.
A little over a month.
Still, I imagine they're probably still fine-tuning stuff. There's a lot of special effects in these movies. It's crazy. And I have to say, it all looks really good. There's a really fun scene where he puts on the giant tech suit from Stark, which has obviously been upgraded since the one that we saw in Civil War. And it talks to him like Tony's suit. It does all these little kind of heads up things and says you've got like 10,412 like web combinations. And he's like, whoa, this is awesome. And then he goes and has some fun with it. And I mean, it kind of lights up a little bit, which is a little bit weird, but it's funny. Like, it's not, I don't think it's going to light up all the time. I think that's the one time you get to see that. But I'm all for it. Like
I'm all for it because in one of the most recent Spider-Man runs, Tony Stark did design a suit for Spider-Man during the original Civil War.
Yes.
Situation.
That's right. Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think that that's where they're borrowing this whole idea from. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
It's not like they just threw it out there. It existed in the comics before it came to God. Theaters.
Everything has existed in the comics in one form or another. These movies have got any, like, well, I'm speaking anecdotally, but none of these are original ideas. They're all like, hey, it could be a major comic run, something really important like Civil War, and yeah, it's pulled from the comics, or it could be like this one time in Hulk number 312, and this really cool scene happened, and we're putting that in our movie just because it's a really cool scene, and I want to put it in our movie. You know, like, all of that kind of stuff. It's just, it's one thing that's nice about these films, especially with Marvel. It's like, these are Marvel fans, superhero fans, and people that grew up reading comics now making movies. And it absolutely shows. I mean, it looks like an exciting film. Are you on board with the tech? Do you like it all?
I am fine with it. I like the whole idea. I don't have any gripes about it. I do want to see him without the tech and see him do some cool stuff without it. Mm-hmm. But I think that just will highlight what the suit does more.
And even that looks like it's inspired by another Spider-Man comic series, which I can't remember the name of it right now. The Scarlet Spider. Or something.
Yes,
it's like a film noir type thing where he's got goggles.
Yeah,
like World War II motorcycle goggles.
Yeah, it's like a steampunk world.
Yeah. Which, I mean, if you've ever seen any of the character design from that comic, it looks wicked. He looks kind of creepy, actually.
You can also play as him. There's a video game called Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions, and you play as four different Spider-Man in four different universes that are all looking for pieces to this thing that's going to cause like an interdimensional collapse. And one of the Spider-Man you get to play as is the noir Spider-Man.
Remember that, because one of them was like a really weird future Spider-Man. He's all like mostly blue instead of red.
Yeah.
Or black.
It's that's Spider-Man from 2099.
Right. Was that a good video game?
It was I wouldn't pay $50 for it, but you can get it on Steam for like $10. It's totally worth $10.
Nice. See, the thing that I would like to do, or I'd like to see, and I think they're making one, is the kind of control and the kind of feel that you have with the Batman Arkham series.
It's coming.
In a Spider-Man world.
It's coming.
Like being able to swing through.
It's
going
to be on play exclusively to PlayStation 4. There is a Spider-Man game coming next year.
Yeah, just being able to swing through Manhattan like that, just like you can bat grapple around Gotham.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it'd be so much fun, especially with the graphics that these systems pump out now. Like on a big TV, that would almost be kind of like Vertigo. You know, like it would be a little bit hard to play, I think.
I think it's the same team that did... there's a series of like superhero games that the superhero is exclusively for PlayStation. I can't think of the name of them at the moment, but that team is what's doing this Spider-Man game.
Cool. Can you imagine when things get to the point where the graphics are good enough, the gameplay is solid enough, and there's enough people developing for the platform and playing Batman Arkham City, Spider-Man in VR?
I'm not sold on VR.
I've not tried it, so I can't speak to it, but it looks like a lot of fun.
I have issues with 3D, and I have depth perception issues when I wear VR goggles.
But VR is in 3D.
Sometimes it is.
Oh, I thought it was just the because it's wraparound and like.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes they use the split lenses to try and give you 3D, and when they do that, it breaks it for me and it doesn't work at all.
Oh, well, I didn't know that. I just thought it was just like stereoscopic vision type of deal.
I have issues when I do VR stuff.
Okay.
So I'm like, let me get. When it comes to VR, I'm like, I have to try it. I'm not spending $600 on a VR headset.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I don't play enough video games that it would warrant, you know, playing that. But even then, the one video game I play, Minecraft in VR, like that would be a hell of a lot of fun.
I can imagine.
I get vertigo just building on a really tall tower in in Minecraft on a big monitor. Like, you know, it. I could see it right. being very, actually, I could see that being very dangerous. The amount of times that I have the living poop scared out of me by a zombie or something that I didn't know was there. Oh, yep. man. I giggled like a little schoolgirl last weekend. I stayed up late playing. I had finished all that I had to do on a Saturday night. And I was like, sweet. I don't have to get up tomorrow. I'm just going to play until I don't feel like playing anymore. And it wasn't like crazy late, but I hit like 1 o'clock in the morning. So after sitting there for a while, of course, you're a little bit, you know, you're getting a little bit tired. It's time to go. You're just doing one more thing, whatever. You're traveling through this cave. Anyway, I stopped to do something and I didn't realize that there was something behind me. And I turned around and it wasn't like I died or it was any real threat. It was I didn't hear it coming. And then when I turned around, it was right there. And I jumped out of my skin. Like I didn't yell out loud, but like, I don't even get reactions like that when I watch horror movies.
The VR experience or the gaming experience where you get the jump scare, it's very different from what you get in a movie.
Yeah, well, it's not like the zombie was like jumping out at me. He had just approached and was in my personal space before I realized he was coming.
Yep.
I can see that in VR. Like I would have to make sure there is nothing near me.
No, I recently played Resident Evil 7, which is a super horror game, and they do some really neat stuff. Like the whole game, the house you're in is not very big. I'd say there's probably something like 30 rooms maybe in the whole house, which is big for a house. But like as a thing, you're like, oh yeah, this is the hallway. There's a bedroom. There's a bedroom. There's a bedroom. There's a bedroom. There's a den. And they keep making you have to backtrack back through the basement, go back to get this other thing that you have to do. And every time you do, something changes in the house. Like there was a window here and now the window's open. And so you get paranoid and you go, nice. Why is the window open?
I didn't open the window. Yeah.
Or one of the best parts is one of the characters is this little old lady that's like catatonic in a wheelchair. And you'll like go down into the basement, fight this guy down in the basement, do this thing, kill these monsters, come back out of the basement, go back up towards the living room, and her chair and her are just parked in the living room. And you're like, okay, how did she get here? Yeah. And so you're looking to like for something that's gonna get you, and nothing comes and gets you, and you're like, okay. And then you backtrack again. You gotta go cut through the living room to go to the other wing of the house. And she's gone again. And you're like, okay. Like, and they do it to you over and over and over again to the point where you're like, you're paranoid the whole time you're playing the game.
Yeah, that's clever though. Like, I'd much rather something like that than having things jump out and make loud noises, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, speaking of noises, the only thing that I have to criticize about the trailer for Spider-Man is that I'm not on board with the muffled talk that he, like when he speaks as Spider-Man, it sounds like he's speaking with a sock over his face.
Yeah.
Not a fan. Now, I don't remember if they did that in Civil War or not. I'd have to go watch.
They did, but I don't think it's as bad.
Yeah. It's fine if it's like a subtle thing, you know, like Spider-Man and Captain America standing around talking. But if he's out in a fight shouting, like don't do the muffled voice because it sounds amateur. Like I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
Is that it doesn't sound super, you know?
Right.
And maybe, I don't know, maybe that's a thing. But I just, like, maybe that's something that they're fixing between now and July. I don't know.
It could be.
You know? Because I'm sure that's all.
They're going to show it to test audiences before then. And I'm sure the test audiences are going to give them feedback.
Yeah.
And there'll be a bunch of little things that they can fix.
Because if me, Joe Blow here in Halifax, Nova Scotia, Dartmouth, can notice it, then I'm sure someone else has. That has way more power, you know, to do something about it. Because that's all going to be ADR. Like that has to be him doing voice, you know, lines in a recording booth and then the making it sound like he's behind a mask. I'm sure at some point, they could reverse it. I think one of the reasons why it stands out so much in the trailer is that there's a really fun scene where he's sitting on a ledge, a window ledge, dangling his feet, and he's eating chimichanga or something? No, that's what Deadpool.
That would be a Deadpool.
Thing. No, but he's eaten something. A churro, yeah. And so he helped a little old lady get something, and she brought him a churro. And so he's eating it while he's talking to Stark. So he's got the mask rolled up to just underneath his nose, which actually makes him look a lot like Daredevil. But he's sitting there and he's talking and he's being Peter and just kind of bopping around. And it's perfect because, of course, he doesn't have the mask on, so it doesn't sound muffled. And I was like, no, that's what he should sound like. And because they've got that in the trailer, you'd notice the difference between when he's saying really funny lines and it just sounds like, all right, guys.
Yeah.
Hulk gives it away. And he's like, no, that sounds terrible. Doesn't that really fly? But like, it is a small, small thing because everything else in that trailer basically just said, Joel, go see this movie.
Yep.
So, and speaking of trailers, the other thing that I caught on YouTube was the Game of Thrones season 7 trailer. This looks
just made me excited.
Incredible. Like I can't even, there's so much that happened and I only just saw it before the show. So I don't really have like a detailed analysis. And plus I don't like watching those YouTube things where they like, it's 15 minutes on a 3-minute trailer. But it looks incredible. The dragons are gi-freaking-normous, which is great. All of them. It looks like Khaleesi is landing in Dragonstone. Why I didn't think of that, I don't know. Every time I've talked about this in the last, last season of Game of Thrones,
it sounded like she was going to Dorne.
Dorne, or is she going to land somewhere farther north, or what's going on? Is she going to land at the Iron Islands? But it's like, nope, she's going to Dragonstone, which makes sense because it's an island. Yeah, I'm an idiot. I don't know why I never thought about that. And it wasn't until I actually paused the trailer the second time through and I looked at the crest on the castle that she goes up to, which also looks very cool. Like there's so much going on. Arya, there's lots of stuff with her on horseback and she's in the north, which is awesome. And what else is going on that was really cool? I mean, there's shots of Tyrion, there's shots of King's Landing, lots of big army shots. So it looks like it's going to be a heavy action season, which is good. I think that's one of the reasons why it's taken them so long to make it. And then there's a big, big battle scene at the end with the dragon flying over it, which looks just really, really cool. And I'm just excited for all of it. None of it looked, well, the show is never boring, but like,
no.
None of it looked like,
nothing is amateur hour.
No, everything. It's all go time. Like it's, yeah. even the Littlefinger Sansa stuff is going to be key positioning.
It's from the dialogue, it sounds like he's trying to push her to be queen of the north,
mm-hmm.
and she's kind of like, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a funny feeling we may be seeing the end of Littlefinger this season.
Yeah.
He's outplayed his hand.
And there was a chant of king in the north, too. Is Jon, I can't remember, I have to rewatch. This is the other thing. This is the one thing I might go back and do before we start doing our segment in the summertime. This starts actually like the week I get back from vacation, so it's like perfect. But the sixth season, I have to rewatch it because I don't even remember where John left off.
He took Winterfell.
Right.
And that was the end of his storyline.
That's what I thought. So like this King of the North stuff is like, it might be people pushing for him to be not only the head crow, but also be king.
No, he's no longer involved with the crows.
Right, because he left.
He had to leave. He had to relent.
Right. Because so who's the? Do you know who's ruling the roost?
I think it's one of his friends.
Oh wait a minute! Yeah, I can't remember. He's got a pointy nose. The actor.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. He's a key character in the book, actually. He's one of the three Musketeers with John too. Yeah, there's like Sam, John, and then this other guy. I can't remember.
Something like that.
He's got two names too. He's got like a nickname and then he's got like his crow name. Anyway.
And they interchange them so much in the books, it's really hard to remember.
Well, that's hard too, yeah. I mean, I'm sure all the Game of Thrones nerds are just screaming at their computers right now as they're listening, but I'm a fan of the series.
The last time I read one of the books was like 3 years ago when book came out.
I think I finished the books before I started watching the series. So I've been like 5 or 7 years out of the books. So yeah, it's a lot to remember. And if you haven't kept up on it, then it's tough. The Dothraki stuff looked really cool too. There's a lot, like again, the action just looks top notch. And I, the other thing, I think HBO realizes that, like, they really have to finish this big. They can't have it fizzle.
Yeah, and I don't, and I, from what I hear, when we get, season 7's going to be a good size. But I think when we get to season 8, I don't think we're getting a full season. I think we're getting, like, 6 or 7 episodes.
I thought this season was 6 or 7 episodes, too.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Because I think we're getting 2 short seasons now.
Yeah. Yeah, the idea was short seasons. I don't know whether the episodes are going to be longer or not, but you're only getting so many episodes.
Yeah, because I think everybody involved now is busy doing other things.
Well, and I'm okay with quality over quantity.
Yep.
You know, I would given all the things that we talk about on network TV shows about how watered down Flash and Supergirl is.
Like Flash needs to be 13 episodes.
Yep. It would be so much better. Much better. You know, not that I want to take money away from actors I really like, but
But you know what show does that really well on? It's a CW show as well. Is they bring back iZombie every season, and it's only a third. They do like 12 episodes and it's done, and they use it as like a mid-season like filler. And every year they go, it does really, really well. And CW just goes, yep, we're going to make another season next year. Don't worry about it.
Yep.
And they announce it when the premiere shows up. They're like, yeah, don't worry about it. Next season, we're going to do another season. Well, there'll be another season. We're just going to keep doing like 10 episodes. That's all you need. And they tell a consistent story and they don't oversell you.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Not to mention, like, you got to remember, like, the internet train is going to hype your show. I mean, if you've got a good show, you're going to have to do some marketing. But if you have got a good quality product, people are going to rally around it. And giving them that much time between seasons, and if it's a 13-episode season, and then you've got a whole other year before the other one comes out, like, people are just salivating for season 2 and 3. But if you've got a 26-episode ho-hum episode, like, season, people are like, well, that's over. I guess I can wait until the fall. Like, you know, it's not nearly the same kind of rapid consumption when it's a long drawn out season like that. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to get back into Arrow. I keep on hearing terrible, terrible things. So
I fell off. And I just, of all the shows going on, I'm like, I'll watch Flash.
The motivation isn't there, right? It's just, you're just not there. I don't, you know, like it's, and I can't, and I don't want to watch something while I do other things. Like, I don't like having TV on when I'm doing the dishes. This is what podcasts are for.
I'm the ultimate multitasker. So I love having stuff on the background.
Yeah. But I don't watch, or I end up watching and not doing what I should be doing, or I end up not watching and then going like, well, what happened? Like, I can't do all those things at once. But anyway, that's the end of our little Netflix chat so far. I'm looking forward to what's coming, and I'm looking forward to some Spider-Man this summer too. In the Internet Minute this week, it's of course brought to you by you, dear patron. If you like the show and you want to support us, help us keep the show afloat or on the air or on the internet, however you want to look at it, then you can go to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. And hey, you know what? It's all up to you. We had a new patron come in the last couple of weeks, which was amazing. So she is now in the Slack chat. I'm not going to give her a shout out because I don't know whether she'd appreciate that or not. But I will do that if people want. And if that's something you'd like to see, then hey, why not leave a comment on the Patreon page? Or if you're in the Slack, then drop me a note. I don't know whether people want shout outs on the show. It's one more thing to track. I don't want to miss anybody, but there's not that many people right now. So if you'd like to get in there, then head over to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. It is 100% up to you. If you decide to toss a quarter our way per episode, which is about $1 a month, it goes a long way. That all adds up over the year to paying for hosting fees, sometimes new audio equipment, you know, buying a longer cord for the microphone, that sort of thing. So head over to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe and let us know what you think. So my pick this week is Lego related. Note, Lego, not Minecraft, Lego. Wildly different they are, not so much. This came to me from my friend Suzanne, and it is a Mental Floss article about a guy that bought 2 tons, I'll say that again, 2 tons worth of Lego bricks. And he then used machine learning to sort it, or is using machine learning to sort it. It's a really interesting article about a homemade conveyor belt based on a treadmill and teaching software to recognize different shapes of Lego pieces. Once it recognizes the shape, when the piece goes by a certain section of the conveyor belt, a blast of air shoots the piece off into the corresponding bin. So if it's a flat piece, if it's a tall piece, if it's a different color, etc. Now, he's not able to sort everything by everything, because currently there's 100 different colors of Lego. Then you've got all the different shapes. Sometimes the Lego pieces are stuck together, because when you buy 2 tons of Lego, like,
yeah,
it's a little bit much. Anyway, there's some videos on the article on mentalfloss.com, and if you just look up man buys 2 metric tons of Lego, you will find it, because it's everywhere. And it, cause it sort of kind of shows how it works. They don't really show how the machine learning works. It's a pretty loose article as far as that goes. But essentially, the program is learning more about Lego as it sorts. So it's slowly becoming more aware of what pieces are where and where they should go, or discerning, oh, that's not a 4x1, that's 2 2x1s next to each other, that sort of thing. Anyway, it's a very cool video. It's a very cool article. It's also a very, I guess, jealous inducing article. Now, they do, one thing that they don't mention is how much he ended up paying for 2 tons of Lego bricks.
You probably don't want to know.
Well, here's the thing. It was an eBay bid, and he bid on a bunch of stuff thinking he's not going to win them. And then he went to bed. And when he woke up, he won 4,400 pounds of Lego. I don't know how many bids he had bid on. Sounds like a lot. And I also don't know what he paid. But it, on an eBay bid though, I mean, like, well, one, and they point this out in the article. If you win all of your bids, you've bid too high.
Yeah.
But that said, like, he was obviously comfortable with making that bid, so it couldn't have been completely unreasonable.
No.
You know, like, it had to have been something that he was willing to pay for Lego.
I'd also like to know what he does for work.
Well, there's that too. I'm getting some sort of computer engineer would be my guess. And they linked to his Twitter and stuff on the page. His Twitter was not interesting at all. So I did not follow him, and I did not look at what he does. But let me just think. Techie, coder, troubleshooter. So he's a coder and a maker, is how he identifies himself. So he probably works in software technology.
Yep.
Anyway, it's a cool article, and I don't know what I would do. Well, one, in an apartment, I don't think I could own 2 tons of Lego.
Nope, your floor would give out.
Yeah, obviously he has a house, and obviously he has a large house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does that even get delivered?
You know? By pallet.
Yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
But it's not all by one person, though. To get that much, there's no way it all came from one another.
It probably all went to the post office. The post office probably brought it all in one truck.
In one truck, yeah. Yeah, I'd imagine. Anyway, it would be a lot of work, but a lot of fun. Like that, I mean, your OCD would have no end to, hey, there's a giant, there's always a bin of Lego, and it always needs sorting. There's a lot of trips to IKEA and, you know, Home Depot to buy those little sorting bins and stuff, but...
Yeah,
man, you could have some fun with that. Very, very cool. And then there's all kinds of stuff. There's Technic pieces. Like, there's just endless things. Anyway, very cool article. That's it for me. What's your pick this week?
My pick is another quick trailer. It's not very long. It's only about a minute and a half. But I think I mentioned it probably 3 or 4 months ago. Netflix has bought the rights to making a Castlevania animated series.
Nice.
It is not for kids. And... out of the clear blue, nobody knew that it was this far along. They put out a trailer this week, actually this morning. And it starts off by showing a guy putting a cartridge in an NES that says Castlevania. And then it shows you like a various like programming on Netflix, like House of Cards. I think it's House of Cards, Stranger Things. And then the guy clicks Castlevania, and then it proceeds to load up like the trailer, and it's just like 15 seconds of like action cut sequences, but it looks cool. If all we get is like 10 episodes of nonstop action in like animated form, I'm fine with that. It can be garbage. It's fine. I don't care. Castlevania is going to get a TV show. So
cool. Is it a CG show?
No, it's all hand-drawn animated, it looks like. It looks like it might be similarly done to what Voltron did.
Okay, interesting.
Where, like, some of the background stuff is CG, but all the characters are animated.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're doing complicated stuff like that. The backgrounds are always a pain. If you can model those and reuse them, then
you're
better off. So I'm trying to watch it, but it's the video player is not working. It looks cool. The stills that I got to, it looks very anime. Yeah. Looks like it's well drawn.
Yeah, I think it, like I said, I think it's the same team that did the Voltron stuff for Netflix.
Yeah, that's out of DreamWorks, I thought.
I think.
Yeah, interesting. Cool. Well, if you do a YouTube search for Castlevania, I thought, you know what? It's on the Netflix Castlevania. Is it Netflix YouTube channel?
It is.
I never thought about checking out their YouTube channel. That'd be a smart place to go and look at all the cool stuff that they're doing.
It's all just Netflix trailers.
Sweet.
I've been going there the last couple of days because they've been putting out trailers left and right
because
stuff just happened.
Yeah, absolutely. Upside down flag. Uh-oh, House of Cards is coming.
Yep.
Interesting.
I think this might be their last season.
Ooh, I know what I'm doing after the show. Okay, cool. Speaking of after the show, that's where we are now. This is the end of this episode of the Citadel Cafe. We record live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on thecitadelcafe.com. Our mobile audio stream is provided by alphageekradio.com, and the music for the show is composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can email the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com and tell me what you think about Spider-Man Homecoming. I want to know. Find us by name on Twitter and Facebook. And hey, while you're out there on the interwebs, leave us a review on iTunes. It's one of the best ways for the show to reach new listeners. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything I am up to online at joelduggan.com. You can also check out forgepublishing.com/shop. Because there's books available. Well, there's pre-orders available anyway. And if you go there right now, you can pre-order Piper Thibodeau's Daily Paintings book and get some free stuff with it. There's a print and a sticker pack. There's some really cute cats and a hippopotamus, which is, I think, also adorable. So check that out at forgepublishing.com/shop and look for all kinds of stuff coming from Forge this summer. Twitter, Instagram's just my name. You can get some art. You can also get some pancake pictures and maybe some barbecue. But hey, I post what I'm passionate about. Spider-Man and chicken. It's all good. Lou, where can people find you online?
The easiest place to find me is on Twitter. I am at BusyZombieLord. And you can also check out my show, Zombies Ate My Podcast, at zombiesatemypodcast.com. And I should also plug, I was on last week's Current Geek.
You were. It was fun.
With Steven Schleicher. It was really good time. I was nervous at first, but I warmed up real quick.
Yeah, and then it was a good episode. There was good trivia. It was a cool. I really liked your forecast segment when you talked about
stuff.
Because here's the funny thing, and I was laughing to myself when I was listening because the last time I was on Forecast, so not Current Geek. I don't remember what we talked about on Current Geek. I don't think it was my forecast that they used. But the last time that I was on a show where we were predicting future stuff with Scott and Tom, I talked about artificial limbs.
Yeah.
And listening to you talk about bio stuff, it was really interesting. The way that the direction took. I mean, I don't know if you, and I'm not sure if you listened to the week before or 2 weeks ago when Dunaway was on the show.
I think I listened to most of it, but not all of it.
You have to get to the end of that one. I won't spoil it for anybody, but just let's just say that there's personal worms involved in his prediction.
Okay.
And you everybody on that show has to take it at face value and just roll with it, and it is hilarious. But okay. Also, they should also listen to your episode from last week, which I think is very cool.
Yeah, my prediction came from my day job. I deal a lot with health insurance and medical stuff, and I see a lot of weird things come across my desk, and so that kind of inspired it. So
yeah, no, it was good. It was good, and I mean, I don't remember the exact. I think it's just currentgeek.com, but if you go to frogpants.com, you can find all the shows. Current Geek is one of them. Or just like the easiest way is how I get podcasts. I just write down the name of the podcast. I look it up on my podcast app, and it's dead simple. But it's a fun time with Scott and Tom and Lou and Steven over there. So check it out. You've been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.